Matthew chapter 8 in your Bibles this morning. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at the works that Jesus wrought after we looked at what Jesus taught. There are many miracles in the New Testament that our Lord performed. And the New Testament focuses on about 35 to 37 specific individual people or specific miracles like the calming of the sea and the winds, various miracles like that. In John 11, Jesus called Lazarus from the dead. His sisters made it clear he'd been dead for 4 days. And Jesus intentionally waited that the people might see the glory of God in raising this believer from the dead. Lazarus, their friend. And Jesus was friends with him and his two sisters who lived at the same house. And they were all concerned because Lazarus had died and Jesus was not there. But Jesus brought him forth from the dead. He simply said, "Lazarus, come forth," in a strong voice. And Lazarus came forth from the dead. And they unwrapped his entombment garment that they wrapped them in for burial. Now, more importantly than Jesus raising someone from the dead is the saving of a lost soul. Because the physical life is temporary, but eternal life means all the world that you know Christ is your Savior because you're going to live forever with the Lord. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is how we're saved. And being saved is to receive eternal life. 1 John 5:11 says, "Life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So receiving Christ as Savior is what gives you eternal life. We looked last in our study that Jesus healed a man who was leprous. A man of leprosy came to Jesus, and he was unclean ceremonially, and physically he had leprosy. And leprosy could cause a deadening of the limbs. It was very easy for their fingers to fall off and their toes to fall off. It had an infectious aspect to it and was contagious from one person to another. Well, this man was unclean, but all sinners are unclean before God. We, before we got saved, were just as unclean in the sight of God as this man was unclean with leprosy. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This man knew that Jesus had power to help him, and he came to the Lord and asked to be healed of his leprosy. And it was a terrible disease, and sin is a terrible disease that all mankind is plagued with by simply being descendants of Adam and Eve, who sinned against God in the garden and passed on to all their descendants the sin nature that we are born with. But Christ died to pay the price for our sin that we could be saved. This man couldn't help himself, and as sinners, we can't help ourselves. We need the Lord to save us. We can't save ourselves. Sin has a deadening effect upon us, just like leprosy has a deadening effect upon those who contract it. And to be deadening means that we begin to sin without realizing it, and sin without any repentance or grief for the sin that we do. But once we get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, and we are convicted if we sin. It's not if we sin, it's when we sin. And when we sin, we know to confess it to God and seek His cleansing and His forgiveness. This leper needed Jesus in order to be healed of his leprosy, and we need Jesus in order to be saved. The leper asked for cleansing. Asking is praying. Praying is asking. That's what the word prayer means, to ask of God. And so we ask of God to save us. And the New Testament teaches that in asking of God to save us, we are to confess to God that we are sinners. And we confess that we believe that Jesus is the Savior risen from the dead and has the power to save us. This man came to Jesus knowing he had power to help him, and Jesus did help him and cleansed him of his leprosy. Today we look at the centurion, a Gentile officer in the Roman army. Our text is in two passages, Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 7. Matthew 8 and beginning with verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Excuse me. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now let's look at Luke's account also in chapter 8, 7 and verse 1 through 10. Luke 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now this centurion is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. We learn from Luke's account a little more about the centurion himself and how the situation played out with him appealing to the elders of the Jews of the synagogue that he had built to go to Jesus representing him. So he was at least considered a Jewish proselyte to be able to appeal to the elders to go and do this. And he is revealed that he had built for them a synagogue. Now, the customs say, not the Bible, but the customs say, if there were 10 or more Jewish families that lived in a city, then they were to build a synagogue for those families. The daily worship in the synagogue did not replace the trips to the temple, which they were required to do once a year, and all men had to go to at least 3 of the 7 feasts at the temple every year. And so in the meantime, they would have a synagogue, sort of the forerunner to the local church, where they could gather, and with 10 or more families, there would be a priest or Levite and a scribe that would be assigned, because the priests and the Levites lived in every city. They did not inherit large sections of land like each one of the 12 tribes did, but within each one of those possessions, they lived within the cities, and there they could influence the people from within. Now, he had enough relationship with these Jews that they were willing to go to Jesus and ask his help. We don't know how many of these were believers. We don't know who told this man about Jesus to begin with. Being a Roman centurion, he would have been over 100 men and a servant under the king of Rome. And he would have knowledge of what was going on within the realm. This man throughout his experience, and we see many who throughout our lifetimes get saved because of the influence of others who have gotten saved previously. Mark talked about this one young man this morning praying for Christ to save him. His friend first came and wanted to be saved, and now he's seen him receive Christ as Savior, and so he wants to be saved also. Thank God that we share the gospel and be a witness for Christ to help others come to know Jesus as Savior. John 6:37, Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now this centurion was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he believed in the God of the Jews, as we still do today. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the expression, the word God there, is the translation of the Hebrew Elohim. And then later, God revealed himself in Exodus to the Jews as Jehovah, and later as Lord and Master of all men. So we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is the one who brings about the power of God upon earth, born of the Virgin to take on the flesh of man without the sin nature of man, that he might die in our place and pay the price on all our sins. Now he came first to the leper and healed the leper, who was no doubt a Jew. Then he heals the Gentile servant at the Gentile centurion's request to heal his servant. And that's a picture of the church age. Jesus came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile in the church age. And then he went to Peter's mother-in-law and healed her, which is a symbol of the restoration of the Jews. That's the way the pattern is going to work. He came to the Jew first, but the Jew as a whole rejected him as the Savior. He went to the Gentiles through the preaching of the gospel of the church age, and the Gentiles had believed on him and formed a great people for his name's sake. And then there will come a day when he will again deal with Israel in the land in what we call the tribulation period. Acts 15:14, James, the church leader, said of Peter, "Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name's sake." We rejoice in the spread of the gospel for lost to be saved. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Praise God for the spread of the gospel of Christ. Now, I won't turn there for the time's sake, but Romans chapter 9, there are several passages there that Paul writes to Rome quoting from Hosea in the Old Testament, how there would be a people that would be named the people of God who were not the people of God previously. Because of Israel's rejection, God has set the Jew aside and deals with the Gentiles through the church. But at the close of the church age, when we go to heaven to be with the Lord, God will deal with those on this earth either to bring them to salvation or to bring them under judgment, which both will take place. This matter from Hosea is a matter that is quoted in the New Testament explaining how that those who were not previously believers have become believers. And we thank God for this. Paul said, God has not cast away His people whom He foreknew. Romans chapter 11, verse number 1. But He will deal with them again. And through our spread of the gospel, we provoke the Jews to jealousy that they might see the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And that is our great hope. Christ dealt with the Jew, He dealt with the Gentile, and then again He will deal with the Jew in the latter days. Now thirdly, this Gentile Roman soldier, a centurion, ruled over 100 soldiers. 10 centurions would make up what they called a cohort. We would call it a battalion of men in today's language. He may have been he may have been a ruler in the Roman army under Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas ruled over Galilee. We're looking at what Jesus did in Galilee. And this centurion, Herod Antipas, ruled from 4 BC until 39 AD. It was Herod Antipas that took the head from John the Baptist for preaching against him taking his brother's wife. Pilate sent Jesus unto Herod Antipas when he was trying him and looking for a way to release him rather than to crucify him. But when he came before Herod Antipas, he would not answer him as he brought charges against him. And so he sent him back to Pilate. Now this man is a centurion that is in the Roman army under these kind of rulers, and yet he has found favor with the Jews, building them a synagogue, and now we see he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He appeals to Jesus to heal his servant. Now the word that is used for servant, there are several words in the Greek language that can be translated servant. And this one is pais, P-A-I-S, in the Greek. And that is a child servant. This is a child servant that this centurion amazingly is taking pity and mercy upon, that he would go to this much trouble, though he's likely a slave, and he is owned by this man. But it is not common for a Roman soldier, especially a centurion, to take this kind of pity on one of his servants who is suffering in such a terrible way. And so he seeks out the Lord who has the power to help him. He's making intercession on behalf of a child servant. Intercession. You and I can make intercession to God when we pray on behalf of other people. We pray and confess our sin and seek God's cleansing and draw close to the Lord. And then we can lift up our loved ones and our friends and those we've met that we've witnessed to and ask God to intercede with them and deal with them that they might be saved. In this day and time, this required a knowledge of knowing who Jesus was. Maybe he'd heard about Jesus healing. Maybe he'd heard about the multitudes of people following Jesus. And we don't know, maybe some within this synagogue were true believers in Christ already and had shared that with this man. Jesus testified to those who followed him, he had not seen this degree of faith throughout all Israel that this centurion had, to believe that Jesus could just speak the words from where he was in a distance and this child would be made well. And Jesus used this as a teaching tool to those who followed. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9 and 10, The Bible says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues," meaning languages, "stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." So there's coming a day when we'll join together with all nations of men who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and worship Him in the kingdom that will take place upon this earth for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ will rule and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. And those who survive the tribulation will enter the kingdom in mortal bodies. We of the church age are going to have glorified bodies like the Lord's body, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And we'll return to the earth in the kingdom with Him when He comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon and then set up His kingdom. And the Bible says in the kingdom that all nations will worship the Lord in the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, they have palm fronds in their hands, and they lay those down for the Lord to come upon and to worship Him. And that scene is seen in Revelation, where they're worshiping Him from all nations of people. In Revelation 7, just before the passage I read, it deals with the salvation of the 144,000 Jews. 12,000 from each one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel will be saved and become great witnesses and preachers in the tribulation, and a host of the nations will be saved during that time. Thank God for that. But do not put off being saved if you're listening to me today, because none of us know what a day is going to bring forth. And in the tribulation, over a third of the population will be destroyed, probably in the neighborhood of two-thirds of the population on earth in that day, by the time the Battle of Armageddon is finished. And so don't gamble with your soul that you can wait to be saved at a later time. All these have believed the message of the gospel, as this centurion believed on the Lord, and because of his belief, his child servant was made whole. You see, we have the truth, and it takes the truth in order to be saved. And we need to share the truth with other people. People are resistant of religion if they haven't been raised in a home where the Bible is looked upon as the authority, where the family members are not practicing Christian people. It's difficult for people. It takes time for them. And so it's important that we live the example of the Christian life, and we are consistent in our testimony in order to have an influence with others, and that we pray. Soul winners used to say, when you're encouraging churches about going out on visitation, let's go to God for people's souls before we go to people with the message of God. We ask God to go before us and intervene in the hearts of men that we're going to witness to them for Christ. Having these promises, let's stand up and tell the nations, Jew and Gentile, as the church, let us make disciples of all nations of people as was commanded by the Lord, that they might go to their own people and share the gospel message, that they might be saved. One of the divisions in the world today is still language. This happened all the way back in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, when God divided the nations because of their language. And languages upon the earth divide us because we can't speak another language. And so if we get people saved who speak that language, then they can be the witness to others that maybe we cannot be. We need the Lord's help to build His church and to send missions around the world to take the gospel. Here in the Bible Belt, there's no excuse for somebody not being saved. There's a Bible-believing church on almost every corner in the South. But there are so many places without the gospel witness that we need to send the gospel and pray that people will be saved. The next thing that we'll take up, Lord willing, is they're going to Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is there sick in bed. And Jesus heals her by taking her by the hand and raising her up. And she immediately begins to minister to them that came to her home. An immediate healing. My friends, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, you can be saved instantly. It's not a process you have to go through. It may take a process to bring you to the point that you believe. But once you believe on Christ for salvation, it is an instantaneous thing that you now possess eternal life forever and forever. Christ demonstrated the power over demons. He demonstrated the power over disease. He demonstrated the power over death. Let us believe in Him and stand for Him and share the gospel message with those who will believe before it's everlastingly too late. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the faithfulness of folks being here today. We pray for Your help in dealing with this uptick of COVID, that You'll help us as a church to be protected, that You'll help folks to be able to come to church and fellowship together. You've said in Your Word that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's a reason that we gather together and sing praise together and pray together and praise together. And Lord, we need Your help in all this. We ask You for it. Lord, if there's someone here today that's not sure of salvation, help them to come down front here today and let me guide them and show them how they can be saved before they leave this place today. And if they're at home watching on live streaming, Lord, we are ready to help them if they'll call upon us here at the church, Bible Baptist Church. They know that by looking up the live streaming. And we are in Fort Mill and our phone number is listed. We pray they'd come and let us show them how to be saved. And so, Father, we pray for Your help. We pray for Your blessings. We give You our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Any other announcements?